Today, never mind the credit quality, feel the width. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And this is a very important post today because the rules just changed. This is because Treasurer Josh Frydenberg on Friday revealed the most significant reforms to Australia's credit framework in a decade, he said, in a bid to reduce red tape for lenders and increase the flow of credit to consumers and businesses amid the coronavirus pandemic. As a result, ASIC will no longer enforce the responsible lending laws for banks. However, authorised deposit-taking institutions, or ADIs, will continue to comply with APRA's lending standards, which comprise of a sound credit assessment and approval criteria. The government will adopt key elements of APRA's ADI lending standards and apply them to the non-banks too. And other key elements of the reforms include allowing lenders to rely on the information provided by borrowers, replacing the current practice of lender beware with a borrower responsibility principle, and removing the ambiguity of consumer lending laws to small business lending. Responsible lending laws that fueled a bitter court fight between the corporate regulator ASIC and Westpac will be scrapped for banks, which will be subject to less onerous credit rules to encourage the flow of loans and boost the economic recovery from the recession. In a shift from this lender beware back towards traditional borrower beware, Treasurer Josh Frydenberg said the government will in effect dump the responsible lending laws that were imposed by the Rudd Labour government back in 2009 following the American sub-loan crisis. This simplification will remove the Australian Securities and Investments Commission from enforcing the responsible lending rules for banks and other mainstream lenders while bolstering ASIC's oversight of payday lenders for vulnerable borrowers. In a so-called red tape reduction, banks and many non-bank lenders will be policed under less prescriptive prudential lending standards currently overseen by APRA, while eliminating the stricter ASIC lending rules. This deregulation responds to concerns of banks and the Reserve Bank of Australia Governor Philip Lowe that following the Hayne Banking Royal Commission and ASIC's pursuit of Westpac in the so-called Shiraz and Wagyu lending case, banks became too conservative and squeezed the flow of credit. Greater emphasis on self-responsibility means lenders will not be penalised if borrowers mislead them on their loan applications, enabling banks to rely on income and expense information provided by borrowers and so speeding up the credit approval process. Just remember, lending in Australia is full recourse, so if things go wrong, it's all back on the borrower. Frydenberg said the most significant reforms to the credit rules in a decade would increase the flow of credit to households and businesses, reduce red tape, and strengthen protection for vulnerable consumers. As Australia continues to recover from the COVID-19 pandemic, it is more important than ever that there is no unnecessary barriers to the flow of credit to households and small businesses, he said. By simplifying the loan application processes for borrowers, it will reduce barriers to switching between credit providers, encouraging consumers to seek out a better deal. Higher risk non-bank products, known as small amount credit contracts and consumer leases, will remain under ASIC's purview, and the rules for these products strengthened, such as caps on credit. Now, this surprise move disempowers ASIC only 3 weeks after its chairman, James Shipton, insisted the responsible lending law is now settled after the agency abandoned its prosecution of Westpac over thousands of home loans. And while the Hayne Royal Commission ultimately gave banks a reprieve in 2019 from a formal crackdown on responsible lending laws for consumers, it pressurised banks to undertake more forensic investigation of loan applicants. The scrutiny of bank conduct was exacerbated by the Westpac and ASIC responsible lending case. The legal battle tested Westpac's argument that the National Credit Act provides banks with discretion on using benchmarks when assessing whether a loan is suitable for customers, and that customers can be expected to reduce historical levels of spending to meet repayment obligations. After ASIC lost the Westpac case for a second time on appeal to the full federal court, the regulator opted in July not to appeal to the High Court, after receiving warnings from the heads of the RBA and the Treasury that it would undermine bank lending during the COVID-19 recession. Now, officially, small business borrowers are already exempt from the consumer-focused responsible lending law, but in practice, many sole traders and self-employed people have been affected because they use their mortgage or personal homes as collateral to secure loans. Dr. Lowe said last month that the pendulum has probably swung a bit too far to blaming the bank if a loan goes bad. So some of the banks have had this mindset. Well, we can't make loans that go bad, Dr. Lowe said at the time. We can't have a world in which if a borrower can't repay the loan, it's always the bank's fault, he said. On a portfolio basis, we want banks to make some loans that actually go bad, because if a bank never makes a loan that goes bad, it means it's not extending enough credit. And separately, the Australian Financial Complaints Authority's enforcement of appropriate lending rules for small businesses temporarily removed during COVID-19 had become yet another backdoor way to apply tougher rules to small businesses. ANZ and Commonwealth Bank of Australia chief executives warned this month that responsible lending laws and the challenges of dealing with two regulators and an ombudsman charged with overseeing the provisions of credit are adding to the cost of doing business. APRA's prudential lending standards have become the main line of defence for ADIs, governing more than 90% of credit extended to non-business borrowers. Lenders will continue to be subject to standards for credit risk management and expectations of sound lending practices. For recognised non-bank lenders, they will be bound by APRA's prudential lending standards, but those will be policed by ASIC. So it's not totally clear and transparent then, is it? Borrowers will continue to be able to raise concerns and seek external dispute resolution via the Australian Financial Complaints Authority. But at the other end of the spectrum of credit, payday lenders and consumer leases face a crackdown in response to a push from consumer advocates. New rules will aim to protect welfare recipients by restricting payday loans, known as small amount credit contracts, and consumer leases for people who receive 50% or more of their net income from Centrelink. These people would be banned from devoting more than 20% of the net income to the SACC and consumer lease payments, with no more than 10% of this being allocated towards SACC repayments. Sidebar on that, more payday loans are now being taken out by people not on Centrelink, so this is a very minor change in my view. Consumer leases will face caps on costs and fees equal to the sum of the base price of goods hired under the lease, permitted delivery fees and installation fees multiplied by 4% per month up to a maximum of 48 months. And lessors will be able to charge a one-off establishment fee of 20% of the goods base price. Now, the government has said since the National Consumer Credit Protection Act was introduced in 2009, a range of new consumer financial protections remained in place, including product intervention powers for credit products, a design and distribution obligation for product issuers, a best interest duty for mortgage brokers banning unsolicited offers of credit limit increases, and the establishment of the AFCA. But consumer advocates have slammed the Morrison government's proposed credit regulation reforms, claiming a relaxation of responsible lending rules would spark financial hardship and impede the post-pandemic economic recovery. Labour's Treasury spokesman Jim Chalmers left the door open to supporting the changes, but wanted to make sure people don't get in over their heads. We'll have to have a look at what the government's proposing. It wouldn't kick in till March, so we've got time to consider and consult widely, Mr. Chalmers said. If it makes sense, we'll support it. But if it tips the balance too far in one direction, we'll have something to say. Now, bank share prices surged on Friday morning, up more than 6%. Banks welcomed the moves, saying they would reduce the burden of regulation, cut red tape for consumers, make loan approval times faster, and assist lending to small businesses. The Australian Banking Association Chief Executive Officer Anna Bligh said it would be important to ensure that these changes strike the right balance between maintaining strong consumer protections while providing credit into the economy at a critical time. Consumer groups said the moves would unwind important consumer protections built up over many years. We got rid of the idea of buyer beware in consumer law decades ago, said Alan Kirkland, the chief executive of Choice. To make it the principle that guides lending in the middle of a recession has disaster all over it. Piling more debt onto people who can't afford it has never solved an economic crisis. Karen Cox, chief executive of the Financial Rights Legal Centre and the first witness to appear at the Hayne Royal Commission, said the problem people are having during the current crisis is too much debt and not enough income. The government's solution is to take on more debt with fewer protections. Unsustainable debt hurts real people and is a short-sighted fix for a flailing economy, she said. Financial Counselling Australia Chief Executive Fiona Guthrie said removing responsible lending obligations will free banks up to aggressively push credit onto their customers. As we learnt to our cost during the GFC, weaker lending standards means people will be loaded up with as much debt as possible. There is significant profit to be made in pushing borrowers to the edge. The reform overrules the edict of the Hayne Royal Commission, which implored the financial service industry to apply the law as it stands. It could end a multi-year row over the rules, which came to a head in the fractious legal dispute between Westpac and the corporate regulator known as the Wagyu and Siraj case. Other consumer advocates were quick to reject the government's suggestions that reform of the responsible lending rules would be in the best interest of borrowers, who some banks and mortgage brokers had argued had been blocked from receiving critical access to credit. Rolling back lending consumer protections will hinder economic recovery, not help, tweeted Gerald Brody, the chief executive of the Consumer Action Law Centre on Friday. He said in a statement issued by the consumer groups that responsible lending laws ensure safe access to credit, pointing to the evidence provided by Commonwealth Bank CEO Matt Common to a parliamentary committee this month that the flow of credit is above pre-COVID levels and that lending is growing at a strong pace. None of the big banks opposed the responsible lending laws at the recent House of Economics committee hearings, Mr. Brody said. Leaving people with more debt than they can afford is no way out of an economic crisis. Pushing too much credit that people can't afford to repay creates hardship, stress, anxiety for individuals and families. Ms. Cox said watering down credit protections will leave individuals and families at severe risk of being pushed into credit arrangements that will hurt in the long term. Our service helped thousands of Australians drowning in debt, and we continue to see legacy debt that predates the Hayne Royal Commission. How can we have so quickly forgotten the hard lessons from the GFC and the Hayne Royal Commission, she asked. The National Consumer Credit Protection Act was introduced by the Rudd-Gillard Labor government in 2009 and revisited by Royal Commissioner Kenneth Hayne, who criticised the bank's interpretation of the law. He took issue with the allegedly widespread practice of what law firm Herbert Smith Freehills has called credit mash, whereby processes of inquiry and verification were combined into a single assessment process, and the bank's reliance on the so-called household expenditure measure, the HEM, as a substitute for proper inquiry. The major banks have taken disparate approaches to criticising the status quo, with ANZ Chief Executive Shane Elliott particularly vocal in opposition. It's not clear where the line is, but if you cross it, the penalty is extremely high, Mr. Elliott said recently. So the only rational response is to stay away from the line. So you just stay away from the line, you build a buffer. So yes, we have become more and more cautious. Mortgage brokers had expressed frustrations as the turnaround times for credit applications lengthened by the post-Hayne application of the law, with complaints that some customers were waiting more than a month to access crucial lines of credit amid the recession. And Commissioner Hayne said in his final report that if court processes were to reveal some deficiency in the National Credit Act's requirements to make reasonable inquiries about and verifying a consumer's financial situation, amending legislation to fill in that gap should be acted as soon as reasonably practical. My conclusions about issues relating to the NCCP Act can be summarised as apply the law as it stands. And so, to reiterate what Gerald Brody says, leaving people with more debt than they can afford is no way out of an economic crisis. Pushing too much credit that people can't afford to repay creates hardship, stress, anxiety for individuals and families. And here's the point. we are in the situation where we already have massively high debt in Australia, some of the highest debt in the world, and of course we have some of the highest mortgage stress around as well. And now, essentially, the taps are being opened and the weight of obligation is being shifted to consumers. And so the key question becomes, how many consumers can make the right decision with regards to credit? And how many consumers might be persuaded to represent or misrepresent their situation just to get a loan? And now the banks have a get-out clause. It's all the borrower's fault. And remember this, in Australia, loans are on a full recourse basis. What that means is, if anything goes wrong, even if you end up deeply in debt, other than via bankruptcy, you have to repay the loan, whatever, regardless. You can't just hand in the keys and walk away, as in some areas of the US. So these changes, which will come in March, and may be subject to further revision, of course, due through various review processes, could definitely change the landscape. Now, I'm going to run a scenario based on the assumption that credit will be more widely available than currently is. And of course, it would have a positive effect on house prices over the next couple of years. But it would also potentially raise the debt and stress issues and also bad debts. So it may be a net sum game. But I do think this marks a very important point of departure. And doctrinally, you can see precisely where the current government is coming from. The future is more debt, specifically private debt, and the banks, of course, will be able to lend more, make more money. So everybody that counts is fine. It's just the poor old consumer that, once again, is cannon fodder. This is an absolute disgrace, and it just shows that there is no real intent in doing the right thing by the average Australian. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.